The future of healthcare is being shaped by COVID-19. The pandemic exposed supply chain problems that caused drug shortages and left hospitals scrambling to find face masks, gowns, and other protective equipment. To develop scenarios about the future of healthcare, the nonprofit organization U.S. Pharmacopeia and the MIT Center for Collective Intelligence surveyed 100 global experts in science and medicine. WAMC's Pioneer Valley Bureau Chief Paul Tuthill spoke with Ron Piervincenzi, the CEO of U.S. Pharmacopeia.
I think people will move on to new challenges in the future, but I do think there are permanent changes being made as a result of this, that the lack of understanding and transparency in the supply chain for medicine is just unacceptable and introduces too many risks. I think that's a big one. Now, this has really, in a sense, nothing to do with COVID-related medicines. This is just disruptions due to a pandemic, which you could argue could be pretty similar to disruptions that could be caused by natural disasters or political strife. So there are risks that really continue and are growing, in fact, for other reasons. I think the second part, when you refer to the disease itself, is will come around with the treatments and vaccines. And again, same thing, where we all talk about the front end, where will we discover that first vaccine? But already we're having a public dialogue that it's not enough to discover it. How will it be made available to billions of people around the world? That's a, in some ways, at least as difficult, and maybe actually in this case, more difficult task.
So how does the supply chain for pharmaceuticals work now?
Medicine is really no different than a drug, I should say. It's really no different than like a car. So asking where it's made isn't actually that, it's not the right question to ask. Because a car might be assembled in South Carolina, but its parts come from Mexico and the engineers were in Japan and you get the picture.
Yep.
That's the same for medicine. You know, let's say a typical drug. But if you randomly chose a generic drug out of a pharmacy, it would probably be a pill, an oral dose, as they call it. It would have been manufactured, created in India. The Indian company would have bought its ingredients from probably China and one or two other countries, maybe one of which might even be the U.S. Put that together. It would have been shipped by a different company, a distributor to the U.S., and then sent around to your local pharmacy chain for you to be picked up or mailed to your house. So that would be not a complicated example. That would be about the simplest example you could have.
This issue, as I understand it, is that we have become overly reliant on a system where pharmaceuticals are produced on a just-in-time basis overseas. Is that right?
We can actually have a low-risk, high-quality supply of medicine and still rely overseas for much of our medicine. It shouldn't be all, of course, but for much of it. But overseas is quite different. If we purchase a medicine, there are plenty of medicines we purchase in the U.S. that are manufactured in five or six different countries, and that's great. So if one country or one area has a natural disaster, plenty of other pick up the slack and it's no problem. There are other medicines that we produce that are only made in one place. Antibiotics, famously, almost all the ingredients for antibiotics come from China for everybody, not just the U.S. That's risky to everyone. In fact, it's even risky to China for their own supply. So the short answer is that, yes, it's bad if we have these concentrations that create risks, but the solution isn't to make everything in New Jersey, which is prone to have hurricanes. I've lived through them myself, that cause big disruptions. It's actually to make sure that the total supply chain is more robust.
And how do you do that?
Well, you do that through regulatory and information transfer. So at USP, we actually train regulatory agencies, the governments who are in charge of making sure the medicines are high quality. We train them all around the world in many, many countries, Brazil, Russia, China, India, Nigeria. And every time one of those countries is raising its bar to the level of quality that we expect in the U.S. and Europe, sort of the international bar, then those enter into our supply chain as another source of quality medicine that we can rely on, so that we don't have to buy only our medicine from one place, for example, China.
If a vaccine for the coronavirus is discovered or there is an effective therapy involving drugs that's proven, will we have the capability to produce enough of it, and will it be affordable?
No, and maybe. So no, I don't think no one place can make billions of doses. It's more complicated to say if, what if a company based in the U.S. is the first to get there? Could the U.S. make sure it makes enough vaccines for itself in a relatively short period of time? Maybe, but only by relying on partners where it buys ingredients from, which includes India and China. And so if the U.S. were to try to do this alone, I think it would actually be worse even for the U.S. because why would India want to sell the ingredients for the U.S. to then make a vaccine that they won't even allow Indian citizens to use? So the real solution here, and you know, I truly hope that we don't end up in a global race of only the countries that discover a vaccine can treat their patients. That would be terrible. On the other hand, we won't be able to, on the first day, produce 8 billion doses. And so how and who will get the earliest doses? What is the risk-based approach for distribution? And then on top of that, you add in your cost. Who's paying for it in any given place, in any given country? So the answer, I think the reality here is this is going to be really difficult and politically, I think, very challenging.